Hey, all right there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining me on Stay Free with Russell Brand. You're damn right. If you're watching us on Rumble, why don't you press the red button now and join us on Locals? Like at Geld, who says, a wizard always arrives on time. Yeah, that's right. We're wizards. Or like Jim-Earth-C137, who's using this image, Lionel Richie, say you, stay free. We've got to put that up. I love this. Say you, stay free. Plus, why don't we recut that? Get Jack, Bad Graphics Jack, to cut, say you, stay free. Mm. And then we can use that as a little jingle, can't we, Gail?
Be lovely, that.
It's my on-screen assistant, Gareth Roy. Are you still called that?
Yep.
No need for that anymore, is there? Because we're paying the appropriate amount of tax and everything. Why can't we just call you producer now?
Sure.
It's all dealt with. Producer.
Right.
Co-writer.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, does it?
No.
Not on arraignment day, baby. It's arraignment day.
Mm.
Yeah. Freedom. Yes, let's get a raining. I'm going to make it a rain. Yeah.
Raining men.
Hallelujah. It's raining men. So it's arraignment day. We're going to be watching how the mainstream media is covering it. What are they going to be doing? Mostly they focus on vehicles, don't they?
Yeah, they love a vehicle.
Like, oh, look, he's got an aeroplane. Mm. He's in a cab. He's in a golf buggy. If you're watching us on YouTube, we're going to be covering live Trump moving about on different vehicles, talking about the legitimacy of the case, talking about what it tells us about democracy, partisanship. Then we go over exclusively onto Rumble because freedom of speech matters to us, because there is a censorship industrial complex that doesn't want us openly communicating, and they'll say whatever they need to say to legitimize their censorship. They'll claim that there's hate speech, and of course there's hatred in the world and bigotry and prejudice, but they don't care about that. If they cared about that, Lockheed Martin wouldn't be sponsoring gay pride. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense anymore. And later on the show, to tell us exactly why it don't make sense, our so-called journalists, Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi, the scourge of congressional hearings. They are appearing live with me in an event that I'm doing in London. Did you know that, Gareth?
I did.
You going to come?
Of course I am.
Me, Matt Taibbi, Schellenberger, I'll be interviewing them about the censorship industrial complex. But why don't we first see how the mainstream media are covering Trump's arrest? Trump is being arrested on federal charges, 37 federal charges. But if Kid Rock's to be believed, they're not that bad. It's been showing, I think it's worse that there are that many documents that are being censored. Well, do you think you can handle the truth? Let me know in the comments in the chat. Why have they got all these clandestine documents? I can handle it. Just tell me everything. Julian Assange, he's in Belmarsh prison now for telling us information that we should have known in the first place. Edward Snowden, he's holed up in Russia right now for giving us information that we should have had access to in the first place. They're both being prosecuted under the Espionage Act. And now Donald Trump, is he being prosecuted under the Espionage Act? That means them spies, baby. Let's have a look at the mainstream media's reporting on this story.
The classified records strewn throughout Mar-a-Lago in a public ballroom, a bathroom, and...
Strewn. Are they strewn? They are strewn.
They are strewn.
Look at that one, just spilling
out. That's the definition of strewn.
I reckon that's the one that he showed Kid Rock. Like, going, yeah, look, Kid Rock. Goes, oh, man! Booted it
that's,
over.
That's allegedly, by the way.
Well, let's say what it actually says. Trump reportedly showed a classified map related to a military operation to someone who did not possess security clearance. In a 2022 interview with Tucker on Fox, Kid Rock claimed the former president asked his advice and showed him what he believed to be secret information during a visit to the White House in 2017. Did he have Kid Rock at the White House? I mean, even that's a bit mad. Looking at maps and shit, and I'm like, am I supposed to be in on this shit? Rock says.
We're looking at maps and and I'm like, am I supposed to be in on this shit?
That doesn't matter. You can have a look. I trust you, Kid Rock. You're one of the best rock rappers we've ever had.
I also really love the next bit of what Kid Rock says about Trump. He says, Mr. Trump sought Kid Rock's input as he drafted a tweet about ISIS.
What should I put about ISIS? Do you like them? Are they good guys? Are they bad guys? I don't know. It's not. This is beyond Kid Rock's jurisdiction.
He said, if you ever, this was the tweet, if you ever join the caliphate and try to do this, you're going to be dead. And then he said to Kid Rock, what do you think about that? And Kid Rock said, it was awesome, encouraged him to post it.
Let's have a look at that.
We're looking at maps and I'm like, you know, I'm like, am I supposed to be like in on that? I make dirty records sometimes. I'm like, I do it here.
You didn't think you'd have a hand.
What do you think we should do about North Korea? I'm like, what? I don't think I'm qualified to answer this.
That's amazing. It's like amazing. Chappelle's fantastic bit of stand-up about Ja Rule. Like, I don't think Ja Rule is a person that I'm going to turn to in 9/11. I'm terrified. Let's have a look at how the mainstream are covering Arraignment Day. We've already seen those strewn documents. What else is going on?
Tossed on a storage room floor are among the nation's most closely held secrets. Of the 31 charges for the willful retention of national defense information, 21 involve top secret documents.
Then, though, do you see how the mainstream media confines us to particular topics? Everywhere, and have you noticed this, we'll be talking about how outrageous and egregious it is that Trump's in possession of these documents. On some platforms, you'll see people saying, well, Joe Biden, he's just as bad, 1,800 boxes of documents from when he's a senator. And then people say, yeah, but he was allowed them when he's a senator. But then people say, he had 20 and they were in his garage. And did you see what Trump went, that my documents were kept in beautiful conditions. Biden, he had them on the floor of his garage. They could get damp. He was like talking about the literal conditions of them. But the real problem is this. Why have you nominated a patriarch elite class that allowed access to information that you're not? Now, I'm not suggesting that all of us on an individual basis want to be immersed in the bureaucracy of government, but the category of classified should be abolished except in matters where it's strictly necessary. Did you know that there are 1.3 million Americans that have access to those boxes? Kid Rock probably already had those boxes in his own house. I'm bored of them. I've already been consulted on North Korea. If you're watching this show and you've got access to these documents, let us know, particularly if you're one of the FBI whistleblowers like our mate Stephen Friend, who every single one of his siblings has a stick figure of old Russ tattooed. This is a fact. You can take this to the bank, Frank, of me on their reproductive genital members.
That's fake news.
That's fake news. That'll do. Same thing. Fake news. Freedom.
Yeah,
is all the same.
That'll do.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
Where freedom and speech meet, you get Freech, I think. That's what I try and say. If you've got the graphic there, you're going to fire it in. Bad graphics, Jack. There it is.
Freech. Where freedom and speech meet, you get free speech. Where free speech meets, you get Freech.
Get well, Ronnie Brand, says at Miles Driver. My dad, Ron Brand, still carrying an injury from West Ham's victory against Fiorentina. He was injured in the line of duty. At Claude, also wishing him a speedy recovery. Oh. Can't wish him things that aren't real.
No.
Guess who is real and not a so-called journalist? It's Matt Taibbi and also Michael Shelley Schellenberger. There ain't a story that they're afraid to break. There ain't a truth that they're not afraid to speak. There's not a congressional hearing that they won't sit there and pretend to be all normal. Sit there all in suits, acting like genuine journalists. They're here. Hello, Michael. Hello, Matt. Thanks for joining us, Matt. I know you got here first, so I'll say hello to you first, Matt, because Michael Schellenberger was doing something else, probably illegal, probably earning money from Twitter. Matt, thanks for joining us, mate. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. Yeah,
we're pretty good. We're very happy. I mean, we've just been sort of watching you guys on Zoom, the way you conduct yourself. And frankly, it was very moving. Michael, what took you so long? What were you doing that was more important than bringing down the censorship industrial complex that you claim to care so much about?
Absolutely nothing is more important. But I think Matt Taibbi and I are happy to announce that we just broke maybe one of the biggest stories in recent memory, which is that we have on good information that the coronavirus did originate from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and that the first three people who were sickened by it were the scientists working to modify coronaviruses as part of gain-of-function research. So it's a pretty blockbuster story, and we're happy to be here and talk about why censorship was a problem in this case and in so many others.
Cool. Don't boast. Let's have a look at that it's on their Substack. There it is. Look at that. It's lovely. Is that on our output? Fantastic. Well done. There is the story being broken by the self-publicist Michael Schellenberger, the narcissistic Woodward and Bernstein of our day, breaking these important stories. So if the first people that got a coronavirus were working in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, what conclusions might we draw from that, Matt?
Well, it's a major story for a couple of reasons, but
First, it completely obliterates the early official story that that the explanation for a coronavirus was that it was transmitted by an animal, maybe a bat or a pangolin, at the wet market in Wuhan. This explanation more definitively ties it to the Wuhan Institute of Virology and raises the question, was this story suppressed because there might have been involvement by the United States in funding the research that led to the development of, what they call the fern cleavage site, which is the element of the virus that made it so transmissible. So this is, it's an explosive story, and we should note that there are other journalists who are working on this, and we're glad for that. That's something different from the Twitter files, and it's a good thing to see.
I can't believe that that's not a conspiracy theory. I can't believe that that is legitimate journalism. I can't believe that we're being forced to confront the truth that virus began in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Is it possible that those scientists, they had been for lunch down the wet market, they'd had a little bit of pangolin and a little bit of bat soup or whatever. I'm not judging people for having a different culture. I don't care what people eat. And then they went back to work, and by coincidence,
maybe they went via a bat cave.
Could have via, you pop into a bat cave, yep, because I don't know, your parents were murdered and you're looking for inspiration. That's for right. What vigilante identity to adopt in your ongoing fight against crime. Michael, I think as a journalist, it's important that you cover every single aspect of this case. Now, both of you, you're two of my favourite journalists. That's why we are appearing together at an event named The Censorship Industrial Complex Exposed in London on Thursday, the 22nd of June. We'll be covering a variety of topics then. Today, though, we're talking somewhat about Donald Trump's indictment, impeachment, whatever it is he's going for, arraignment, a variety of polysyllabic and perjurative terms. Why shouldn't Donald Trump have those documents? What is the classification of documents, the control of information by institutions that no longer have our trust? Seems to be a more important issue than this one. Michael, what do you think about the current case?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that this case, like a lot of others, raises some serious questions around the abuse of power by government officials. I don't know the specifics of it, but I think that when we look at sort of the cases that we've been following, whether it's the COVID origins, whether it's the Hunter Biden laptop, Russiagate, many other issues, we're seeing the institutions, and we've seen now in Britain that the UK government was engaged in similar censorship activities as the US government. We've been also talking about the FBI whistleblowers. I mean, we are seeing significant abuses of power, disinformation, censorship coming from our governments around the world. It's just time to, we need reform. I mean, we need to clean house. These government institutions are being run by people who act like they own them or that they have some special privilege, but we need to reassert our democratic rights over these very powerful institutions, because I think the evidence is growing that we've been lied to for many years, and that the people that have been lying to us have also been trying to censor us.
You're both coming to the UK next week for the event that we've discussed that we'll be showing on Rumble in the days to come. Kit Clarenberg was interrogated for 5 hours when he was traveling. Matt, you were threatened with arrest subsequent to your congressional appearance. Are you not concerned that you'll be detained? And what are your feelings about latex gloves? And have you been acquainted with them previously?
Not recently, although thank you for planting that image in my mind. Well, here's what I'll say. Maybe 3 weeks or a month ago, I would, of course, not have been concerned about that at all. I would have laughed at the mere possibility that this was even something to worry about. But I am concerned now. I mean, we have reason to be worried about it. We had a ridiculous incident where the IRS visited my house. I was investigated after one of the Twitter file stories, and the Kit Clarenberg is part of an organization that was on a list that we saw in the Twitter files was delivered to Twitter from the Ukrainian security agencies through the FBI. So it's hard not to, you know, wonder, you know, are we next? I mean, you can get on those lists for any number of reasons, and that's very concerning.
Fear sometimes makes me seek out alliances. A lot of the people watching this now on Locals, you can join us on Locals by pressing the red button, feel that what's happening around Donald Trump, who gave you a name check the other day, of course, Matt, is little more than a witch hunt. Are you able to maintain your impartial perspective as journalist when it seems clear that when it comes to the censorship industrial complex, it's primarily an issue that seems to be undergirded and exacted by the Democrat Party? That question for you first, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is part of the thing that we're worried about, which is that we're seeing potentially double standards being used along with this abuse of power. So we're seeing, you know, here we are. We now think there's pretty good evidence, or at least there is evidence that's been presented of potential criminal bribery involving President Biden when he was vice president. The FBI withheld that document and that information from Congress for many weeks. Congress had to threaten contempt of Congress against the FBI director. And so now we're seeing the prosecution of a former president. I mean, some of those charges are very serious, so I don't want to suggest that there isn't something serious there. But all of us that have lived in other countries, you know, Matt spent a bunch of time in Russia. I've lived in Latin America and been in Asia. And you see former heads of state going to prison and a kind of constant cycle of retribution. And I worry about that. I worry that we're becoming a banana republic, and in both in the abuse of power by policymakers and politicians and unelected officials, but also in this kind of desire to persecute and prosecute your political enemies.
It seems that there's no legitimacy to the authority once wielded by these institutions. I don't imagine that any of us suppose that whatever the outcome of next year's election, the side that loses will gracefully concede. What's likely to ensue is a series of allegations of corruption or foreign involvement or meddling. Is that not an indication that the institution of democracy itself needs to be radically altered, that there needs to be significant change to within the duopoly that currently endures? What do you think about that, Matt? What do you both think about that?
I think that's definitely true. You know, I first noticed that as a campaign trail reporter, probably two election cycles ago. I started to hear a lot of complaints from people, frankly, on both sides of the aisle, who were saying they were losing confidence in institutions like the Fed, you know, Congress, absolutely. Then it became the FBI. Then it was, you know, just the criminal justice system in general. Everybody was upset at the intelligence agencies because of the Snowden revelations, the surveillance revelations. Now with the censorship stuff, in addition to the general distrust of government institutions, we have almost total distrust in you know, the liberalizing institution of media. Nobody knows what to think anymore about anything, because almost all the information that comes out now is politicized and not terribly reliable. And that is a terrible situation for a country to be in, because you can't trust anything. I mean, you know, even the results of elections, forget about the 2020 general election. I was there for the Iowa caucus in 2020, and I still don't know who won that election. You know, I mean, it's impossible to know now, and that makes it very, very difficult in a democracy for people to know how to act if they're not informed.
Somehow this uncertainty appears to be beneficial to the centralized authority and the doubling down of authoritarianism, particularly with regard to the issue that is going to be uniting us on June the 22nd. It seems to legitimize censorship somehow. This constant talk of corruption, misinformation, fake news is legitimizing publicly funded media organizations like the BBC in their endeavor to censor and adjudicate which information is viable possible. Take a figure like RFK, who's a radical outsider, one assumes, in spite of the surname. When he came on our show, he said stuff about the pandemic, its funding, and its aims and its execution that even for me, a hardened old conspiracy theorist of yore, to listen to. Do you ever think of going it's difficult to imagine how much further you could go, the pair of you. I basically agree with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's a good woman. She saw through the pair of you. She called it as she saw it. She did democracy a great service that day. But are you willing to investigate even more seemingly outrageous claims? For example, some of the RFK ones. You must be familiar with them, Michael, because I'm doing this in turns, but this is how I'm going to do it on the night. See? Fair. One turn each. You know?
Yeah. Look, I was going to say too, I think that, we have a really great system of government in the United States, but it does need to be periodically reformed and refreshed. And we saw about 50 years ago, the church committee hearings, which basically demanded significant reform by FBI and CIA. We also saw a flowering of journalism in that period. We are not seeing that flowering of journalism coming from the big newspapers. It's not coming from the Washington Post or New York Times. In fact, they've been perpetuating misinformation, including around Hunter Biden's laptop, the COVID origins issue, the Russiagate. But I think that you see a bunch of new players, Matt and I mean, the benefits of having been sort of attacked by Debbie Wasserman Schultz in early March, as Matt and I were, is that we've had a number of whistleblowers come forward, and they don't trust the big newspapers. They would rather work with Matt and me, who have proven that we will protect our whistleblowers and our sources and our witnesses. We're very careful. So I do think we have the potential to enter into a new age of journalism, a new golden age, but I don't think it'll be coming from the establishment. I think it'll be coming from people at places like Substack and at Twitter. I also think, though, that we still need a bipartisan sort of Truth and Reconciliation Commission to get to the bottom of, you know, frankly, this terrible abuse of whistleblowers. You know, we've seen basically it's not just that the people that are lying to that. It's not just that these government officials are lying. They're also trying to censor people and defame them. And so just on the COVID origin story, they accused these very reputable scientists of spreading conspiracy theories by pointing out that actually many viruses in the past had escaped from labs and that they were conducting precisely the risky research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology that was the research with the closest viruses to the coronavirus. So, you know, I think there's a lot of bullying that's been going on. It's been an abuse of power. But I do think that's the role of journalists, and also of reformers to clean up these institutions, and the public wants to know, and I think they deserve to know.
Whistleblowers must be protected. We've had several whistleblowers on this show, notably, Grady O'Boyle and Stephen Friend. We had those FBI whistleblowers, and they exclusively revealed that each of their siblings had stick figure tattoos of me on their genitals. Am I right in saying that, Gareth?
No, that isn't accurate.
Something
at all.
A bit like that, guys. No. Now, when we're doing our big conference on the Censorship Industrial Complex in London, 7 p.m. BST on Thursday, June the 22nd, which we will be covering on this show subsequently. Look at that lovely poster. I'm in the middle there. I'm sexy. I'm very much the Mike Hutchins of that little trio. And you know that Matt Taibbi's on drums. God knows what Schellenberg is capable of. An array of organs. I'd imagine he'd be tickling. It just takes a glimpse to see that there's barely an instrument that he wouldn't be willing to take his lips to. I hope we're going to have some fun, and it's not going to be all serious and political. Matt, are you going to have a bit of a laugh?
Certainly, as long as it's not at my expense.
Will be some of it, but Michael's quite. I think Michael seems like he's a very teasable person.
Do I have to do the stick figure thing?
Would like you to honor me with a tattoo on your genitals if it's not too much trouble. If you haven't already got a stick figure tattoo of me somewhere on your body, then you might want to consider that. At least when you're being probed at Heathrow Customs and the blue latex glove, they say, Russell Brand, welcome in. Welcome in. Since the Queen died, he's our natural Republican figurehead.
That was a great comeback, Russell. That just brought it all together. The whole.
I'm going to be doing that on the night. I'm going to do it on the night. Michael, are you? I hope you're not going to be dour and sour. I hope you're going to be very fruity and good fun for our conference.
I was told that I got to play the straight man, so I'm going to stick with that.
Well, good luck, Schellenberger. Good luck playing that part, darling. I've got some interesting and high-profile friends who want to come, and I'll name-drop them off-air. Gareth, you're going to come, aren't you?
I don't think I'm one of those, am I?
No, you're not a high-profile one.
You're in trouble
one.
If that's the case.
Are you going to ask any questions, Gareth?
What, now? Oh. Well, now I'm obligated to.
Well, yeah, because I've played the jingle.
Oh, bloody hell.
Don't do a long question.
I won't do a long question. All right, no, I was, obviously we know so much from your revelations regarding kind of COVID.
It's already too long.
Over the Twitter files. The list you mentioned, Matt, before about the FBI in kind of collusion with Ukraine's intelligence agency that included, I think, Kit Klangberg and the Grey Zone also seemed to, I think, include Aaron Maté was on that list as well. And I just wondered your thoughts on where the kind of censorship is kind of permeating every area of discourse now. Do you feel that it's there's kind of no end to where it's going to lead?
Well, I think that's one of the major revelations of the Twitter files. It was the scale of what they were looking at was so enormous. You know, it was kind of a bait and switch, because what happened was they started off basically coming to the platforms like Twitter and saying, well, we have a problem with Russian interference and we just want to clean that up. And that's how they got their foot in the door. And next thing you know, they're getting their hands on all kinds of topics, ranging from COVID to election interference to the war in Ukraine. And, you know, essentially what they did in the United States, I think, was very clever, because the United States has a legal tradition that doesn't allow intelligence agencies to meddle in the information environment domestically. So they call all of this, you know, interdiction of foreign interference. But what they're actually doing is they're looking at, in some cases, really small follower accounts of people who are just making political jokes online. They look at everything. And the problem is the new laws that are being proposed, you know, in Canada, the Digital Services Act, you know, there's a Restrict Act in America. If these things pass, they'll be able to look at everything and censor everything with no problem at all. I mean, Michael, do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's part of what we're concerned about is that the EU is trying to impose new censorship tools that they would then apply to Twitter and Facebook globally. But we're seeing a crackdown on free speech happening around the world at the same time. It's very creepy. It sends chills up your spine when you see countries basically demanding censorship for the same reasons everywhere. It's hard not to think it's coordinated by governments, but it's everywhere. I mean, it's Canada, United States, Britain, the EU, Ireland is proposing to be able to go into people's homes and search their computers without warning. Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, they're trying to get into people's private text messages. That's also something they want to justify in Britain. And they always come up, they just keep coming up with new justifications for it. And they make stuff up. They say that there's an increase of hate. There's no evidence for that. Our societies are more tolerant of racial, religious, sexual minorities than they've ever been. And the evidence shows that. So I find it very creepy, because I think what's happening is the elites are losing legitimacy, and they are constantly trying to find some new crisis, some new urgent thing as a justification for censorship and demonizing their political opponents. And to see the BBC participate in this and putting forward somebody who is a completely inexperienced reporter as though they're going to be the expert on what's true and false in general, it's the kind of stuff you would expect to see out of a George Orwell novel. And it's sort of shocking, because we've seen this in other countries. I never expected to see it in the United States, but I think the point of us getting together in London is that we wanted to bring people from around the world. They're going to be coming from around the world, because we do feel like we got to go on the offensive, and we need to be demanding more free speech rights around the world. We shouldn't be defending what we have. We should be expanding freedom. And we need a global movement to do that in order to counter the censorship industrial complex.
I certainly agree with that. And I want to add that there's just been, and this is a scoop of my own, there's a new UK law that would grant certain authorities the right to check at Heathrow Airport whether or not visiting journalists have stick figure tattoos of a much-loved British icon on their genitals.
Wow.
And I think actually that law, that's quite
that's
sensible.
That's a good law, isn't it?
You do need some regulation, because you can't trust all journalists to have the necessary body markings.
No, it shows a
sometimes.
Level of commitment, I think, doesn't
do
it?
And what I will say there, if you two on the night start throwing to each other, like going, oh, Matt, do you want it? Michael, do you want to pick up on that? Oh, yeah, I'll pick up on it. Then what's the point of me showing up? Because if you've brought me up just for ticket sales, I tell you, just have a bit of glamour on the poster. Let's bring up the poster again. Who looks best? Bring it up. Me, isn't it?
That's
it's
a very old photo, Brand.
That is recent. I took that. That was taken for me by me this very morning. There I am. Look at me. All innocent. Just like a hirsute Michael Jackson. Matt Taibbi looks like one of the Three Stooges. Schellenberger's squinting at an imaginary sun. I'm carrying all the glamour. And I tell you what, if they start talking to each other directly on the night, Gareth, I will freak out. I really will. Do you promise you won't, Matt?
I promise. I'm sorry for that violation.
It was. That's the sort of thing. That's what Vassenberg. This is my time. This is my time. My time. That's what I'll be doing. All right. If there's any of that bullshit, I will Vassenberg Schultz you so hard. I think to next week. A lot of people in the comments are saying, Lil Peep 666666 said, long question, Gareth. Barry John Fox, all right, Gareth, stop milking it. Then some people saying that you're sort of adorable and stuff. But most of it was real harsh judgments. Thank you very much, Matt and Michael, for joining us. That was already a fantastic conversation. If you want to join us and the attempt by this couple of chuckling goons to start a global anti-censorship industrial complex movement in London using me on a poster, then join us in London 22nd of June. Matt and Michael will be back on the show, newly tattooed. Get your tickets at censorshipindustrialcomplex.org. We'll post that in the chat. We're going to stay on locals. I think Matt and Michael, who would blame them if they left us? But we're going to stay. We're going to talk more about Donald Trump. We're going to talk more about censorship. We're going to be taking your questions. So join us on locals. Just press the red button. That's all these questions that I'm reading. That all comes from there. Thank you, Michael. Thanks, Matt, for joining us. It's lovely
thanks
to have your time.
Appreciate you guys. See you soon.
Take care, guys. There they go. Two of the bravest, finest journalist activists that we've ever met in our entire lives.
I love those guys.
I love them as well, actually, a bit.
Do you think we're all mates?
Yeah, we're mates now, aren't we, mate? We'll go on the night. Do you think afterwards we'll maybe go out for a little bite to eat?
I'm not going to be invited, surely.
Of course you are.
I feel like at school, I'm the one that goes, can I come along with you guys?
Like sort of a couple of paces behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me. Like
I've got a couple of conspiracy theories of my own,
Shut up. Go and get us a packet of fags, will you?
All right, no worries. Which ones do you want?
Yeah, nick them porno mags that your dad's got.
No worries, Mr. Brand.
Hey, guess what we've got on the show tomorrow? Krishna Das talking about spiritual enlightenment. Work harder, guys.
I think, are you going to ask him to get a tattoo?
Krishna Das, we all understand that the material world is emanating from pure consciousness. Mm. Yes, that's right, Russ. That's a good way of putting it. Have you got a tattoo of me on your dick? Sorry. No, I was just saying, Bhagavad Gita's got stuff that's in the Bible, so does that mean there's an archetypal intelligence? Oh, yeah, that's what I thought you said. So stay with us on Locals to join our exclusive extended tattoo dick.
That looks like he was getting a tattoo.
Let's
on his genitals
at, again.
At that time.
Hey, I didn't agree to this. Now, Krishna Das, he's enlightened, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's going to have a great time in here.
He can have both things.
That might
be the reason.
What if our guests watch this show?
Well,
doesn't it worry
good
you?
Luck.
They'll like it. My dad will be watching it. Get well soon. That's what they say on there. Right, anyway, so look, join us. Listen, press the red button on your screen right now. See that little red button? Push it. Push it inward like it's the nipple of a much-loved friend. Push it till it's inverted. Push it in the end till it's like a thimble. Push it right in. Right?
Yeah.
That's what you should do. And then join us on Locals. Me and him will carry on chatting for a while, won't we, Gail? Now, I bet Bad Graphics Jack better have created something from that Lionel Richie thing. Join us. We're gonna be with you in a couple of seconds. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow. Not for more of the different, you know what I'd normally say. Stay free, but stay with us on Locals. Click the red button now. It's going to be mad. I'm going to really let go. I'm feeling crazy, baby. Stay free.
Many switch in, switch off, switch off. Many switch in, switch off, switch off. Many switch in, switch off, switch off. Many switch in, switch off, switch off.